Hello, this is Dr. Shiva. Welcome to our podcast, Get Educated or Be Enslaved.
Episode 1426, air date April 16th, 2024.
They don't hear all of the things that we sometimes hear on podcasting. So you invented email at age 14. And I think people try to even diminish that, right? You have back and forths with people who try to say, yo, you didn't invent email, somebody else did. But just very quickly, give us your resume, 4 degrees from MIT. You're a very accomplished man. I want people to know who you are before we start getting into some of the issues.
Sure. Anyway, to be on the show, thanks for inviting, you know, not only me, really the movement that I represent and we founded, but, you know, my journey to running for president begins as a kid who grew up in Jersey when I moved here in 1970. As pretty much a normal kid working in working class neighborhoods. You know, my parents, when we came here in 1970, first we settled in a place called Paterson, New Jersey, which is one of the poorest cities in the United States. And then we moved to Clifton, New Jersey, Parsippany, and then finally the last 3 years in one of the wealthiest towns in New Jersey called Livingston, New Jersey. In fact, the Kushners used to live there. Very interesting high school. And we can talk more about that. But prior to that, you know, I was born in India in 1963. In India, which had a caste system where a small set of people think they're better than everyone else, and it's institutionalized. So we were considered the lower caste in India. So I grew up in this world of really wanting to understand these inequities in politics as a four-year-old kid. And then more importantly, I had a deep love for medicine. My grandmother was a traditional healer. So when I came to the United States, I was very motivated to work very, very hard. And by the time I was 14, I did go to New York University in one of their elite computer science programs that 40 students were selected. I was the youngest kid. And then after that, I started working full time at a medical school in Newark, New Jersey, where I there's not even a gray area on this. I invented email, the system as we know it today, when I was the first to convert the old fashioned paper based interoffice mail system. You may remember that. Which is a very complex system of the inbox, the outbox, folders, and typewriter, and carbon copy, a very complex system into its electronic version. I wrote 50,000 lines of software code in a very difficult language called Fortran on less than 8,000 kilobytes of memory, named that system email. And then before I came to MIT, I was awarded the first copyright for email, recognizing me as the official inventor. Never talked about it because I was really interested in medicine. It was many, many years later, about 33 years later, on November 2011, Time Magazine did an article on all the artifacts, because when my mom was dying, she put all this in a suitcase and she had saved it. And then subsequently went into the Smithsonian. And it should have been a great day for celebration of the American dream. Instead, the racist white liberal elites, not everyday white working class people, liberal elites who are the real racists, who did not compute for them that email was invented by me before I came to MIT, before all my 4 degrees, before all the awards I won at MIT. And this is unfortunate for them, because the truth is that they try to contain who is intelligent and who isn't. It's a neo-caste system in the United States. The problem is I have all the receipts, all the facts, and I have all my credentials. So they're sort of fucked, excuse my language, with this. And the reason is
they'll kick us right off of here, doctor. Yeah. I don't want to lose you because I'm so anxious to talk to you.
So the reality is these people are very evil people, because they're the reason that America is subjugated. And that's why, you know, 8 billion people in the world are controlled by a few set of people. And the reason is that it's the liberal elites who claim that they stand for poor people, black people, poor and the diversity and all this stuff. They're the ones who are the real evil of the world, like the Kennedys, including the Trumps, what I call the not so obvious establishment, who talk the words as though they care for us, but ultimately they do not care for us. They're intended to make sure real movements, bottoms up, led by people like me who come from the working class, do not ever occur. So our movement, unfortunately for them, is growing by leaps and bounds. About 500 million people throughout the world know about us. My running for president is probably one of the most shadow banned events, even though you can look back, you know, I have about 3 million followers on the internet, all of that on social media. and none of them keep growing, especially when I was put back on Twitter in 2022. Right. After I was taken off Twitter for being the guy in a federal lawsuit who exposed the fact that government and social media companies are one in a historic lawsuit, which people like Glenn Greenwald, Tucker Carlson, all these people concealed because they want to control the narrative. You see, so we're living in a very insidious time. You have the obvious establishment, but you have the not so obvious establishment who know that working people are awakening and that they want to build an independent movement with leaders from us, not from them. And so they have accelerated their propaganda to fifth gear to create bogus, fake agents of change like the Kennedys, the Bidens, the Trumps, the Bernie Sanders, etc. But the good news is our movement exists and we expose these people. We teach people the system dynamics. There's a science to changing the world. There's a physics, and we have figured out a way to teach that to people in a very, very simplified way. So our movement stands for Truth, Freedom, Health. And every Thursdays at 11 a.m. and 8 p.m., we do two town halls. People can go to shiva4president.com/townhall. And it's me hosting it. We speak direct to people. There's no, and everyone can directly ask me questions, which is very, very different than any other presidential candidate where everything is owned. The other thing is every other presidential candidate is a slave, is a stooge, is a puppet of Zionism, which is a racist political ideology, which has nothing to do with Christianity. And I'm the only presidential candidate who calls it out because it is anti-American. And yet all of these candidates are puppets of Zionism. So these are some very, very important distinctions. You have a guy who actually not only invented email, invented many things, who epitomizes the American dream and who should be on every major news show. But it is dangerous to put me on because I represent the working people and they cannot control me because our movement is independent of the not only the Democrats or Republicans, but also what I call the swarm. And people like...
Yes, I want you to explain the swarm.
What's that?
I do. Before I even heard you do the your breakdown of how the swarm works, that was a big part of my show. And I just want to give you kudos for explaining it better than me. But I come from the business world. I recognize patterns pretty well. And I started recognizing patterns within the establishment. And I started to see how this game was played. I started to look into the backgrounds of everybody that came across my television set. If they were, I went to school for journalism. So I started looking into these people. They were media personalities, the experts, the pundits, the politicians, the this whole group of people. And I started recognizing, very similar to the way you describe it, if you want to describe the swarm, I'm going to give you as much time as you need to describe that. Because really what you're talking about is a system of a group of people that all have similar interests, which is to keep their power and to keep their wealth and keep it contained while trying to take freedoms and try to take the First Amendment and everything that the working class thinks they have access to, but in reality, they really don't. That's kind of the way I see it. And I'm curious I know you do it on a whiteboard. It gets a little complicated. Do you think you can explain just the premise behind the swarm to my listeners?
Yeah, I think that's got probably about 100 million views. That video, it's just gone viral on its own. It's
fantastic.
Shadow banning. But if people go to shattertheswarm.com, pretty much anyone can follow it because I build it up very, very, easily, There's a long version of it and a short version. And the other thing is I do not underestimate the intelligence of people. Everyone wants to dumb down things. There's no dumbing down of things, but it's easily accessible. So people love it. But look, people have talked about the quote unquote, the establishment, the people who rule over us, but they talk about it in very imprecise terms. It's a difference between talking about some phenomenon in nature in imprecise terms and then talking about it with precision. Because when you talk about it with precision, you now have a weapon to go shatter the swarm in this case, okay? To change the things.
Right.
But when it's talked about in very nebulous words or cliche words, you can't do anything about it. So first of all, in the 1920s, everything that you have in your home today, every comfort you have, every major technology, emerged out of engineering system science, not systems engineering system science, and the understanding of control systems. And I'm not going to get into that, but the reason an institution like MIT came into being was because of that. the reason you have your iPhone, the reason you have your thermostat in your home, the reason you have windshield wipers that automatically know how to, you know, move, or the reason we have air flight that can go from point A to point B with precision is because of control systems. All right. So, you know, across my 4 degrees at MIT, my PhD, I was fascinated by system science. In 2007, when I finished my work, I went back to India and I did research on these ancient systems of medicine, which I've been very, very fascinated by because my grandmother was a traditional healer. What I uncovered was that modern engineering system science and these ancient systems of yoga and medicine, I found the missing link between them. And that science is what I used to teach at MIT. And I started putting it into a format that anyone can learn. You don't even have to know math. You don't have to be, quote unquote, a nerd. Anyone can learn it. But at the heart of that science is where we, the working people, will learn how to liberate ourselves. Because you see, we're not going to build anything without understanding the science. You can't build a microphone without understanding, you know, wave propagation. You can't build an iPhone without understanding Maxwell's equation. So people, a lot of these grifters on the internet just talk nonsense these days, and they haven't ever done the work in doing math or ever building anything. So working people know about this. Electricians, plumbers know the reality of dealing with the natural world. So the science of systems provides, and the discoveries that I made, which have been published in leading journals, and the curriculum I've developed allows anyone to understand any system on the universe and these fundamental 9 principles. And with those principles, we can build is a key word, a movement to shatter the swarm. So what is a swarm? Well, the swarm itself knows system science. Henry Kissinger, Brzezinski, you know, all these guys who go to the Fletcher School at Tufts or Harvard Kennedy School, MIT, they're all trained in system science. About 10,000 people on the planet know this. And this is how those people control the 8 billion. And so in that video, everyone should watch with their children, shatterthesswarm.com. You will see how I used simply a little blue pen or marker and a whiteboard. It took me about 50 years to make it that simple. The problem is when you make it that simple, people think, oh, yeah, this is easy. Well, you got to really watch that video. There's a lot of stuff in there, and then people should go to truthfreedomhealth.com and become warrior scholars. You have to get trained in this. It's not intuitive. It's not just, you just figure it out. But that video on Shatter the Swarm begins with talking about, and as it's sort of a video in a video because I explain what a control system is, and I use that to illustrate it. So for example, the swarm has a very clear goal. Maximize power, profit, control at any cost. That's their goal, which is one of the elements of system science. How do they execute this goal? Well, they observe what's going on around them. And that's called, they have lots and lots of data, which are called sensors. So if we're fat and we're dumb and we're happy and we're getting more obese and we're getting more unhealthy, and we think that people like Booby Kennedy or Donald Trump or Joe Biden are going to help us, they're quite happy because we're heading in the direction that they want. Or Tulsi Gabbard is our hero, or Tucker Carlson, all these people, right? These are all created by the swarm to serve the swarm, including CNN, Fox, all of these people. So if they observe that, they're great. So they will make a decision. They have a decision-making apparatus to put more inputs into this system, which is the society around us, to keep moving in that direction. And those inputs are ensuring that there's less and less freedom, constraining freedom through censorship. Elon Musk, Jack, you know, the former the guy at Twitter, or Zuckerberg, all these guys are paid government agents. They are paid to act like they stand for freedom, but they are given their billions of dollars. So they have given government access to all their data, which is what our lawsuit exposed in Bearview in October of 2020, that the government has control of all social media companies. And through that control, they're able to surveil and censor us. The new form of censorship is to put guys like me back on, but put a digital cage around us. So it gives the apparent view that, oh, Dr. Shiva's back on, but your reach doesn't go that far. Okay. So the fact the Shadow of the Swarm video got hundreds of millions of views says, probably got billions of views, okay? because people are really, really interested in liberating themselves and not just watching Joe Rogan all day and being manipulated. People are much smarter than this. So that video goes into understanding the forces, the inputs that are, we are being bombarded with every microsecond, and the entire system's control mechanisms that they have. And at the heart of this control mechanism is not like the Rothschilds or someone in just in one location. The swarm, as a word describes, is geographically multiracial aristocracy of multiple entities that may even have disagreements among themselves from point to point, right? But ultimately, they all work towards this interest of maximizing power, profit, control. That's what it's about. It includes the intersection of, or interconnection, 100 top university leaders, the 100 top countries in the world, the major media companies, the big banks, it's Hollywood, right? So it's this whole very, very, and they're a very small family of people that work together. They eat at the same restaurants. They screw each other. They're quite incestuous. But the front end of the swarm is two entities. The obvious establishment, like the Bushes or the Clintons, that are openly fascist, but they also have the not so obvious establishment that they started creating in the 1950s, 60s, 70s, because they did not want bottoms up working class movements to come up. They branded all those movements as quote unquote communists. You know, they created the Red Scare. But the goal was, they do not want us building our own movements to shatter the swarm. So they create the Kennedys, who are just a gangster family. They create the Trumps, who's not a businessman. The guy's never made anything. He is, you know, backed by the Rothschilds. He supported, Wilbur Ross is the one who helped him. So you can just, it's not even, you don't even have to do that great research anymore. It's just out there in the open now, and they're fine with that. So this is the swarm. And so people, as a part of this, get lost in the drama that the swarm creates, like WWE wrestling. And they get very stupid and being sympathetic for, like, being sympathetic for one wing of some crime family versus another wing. You know, these people are organized criminals. So that video exposes all of that in 15 minutes. It's really potent video. The goal is to shatter.
We'll post that link.
What's that?
On our page. We'll post that link on our page. Yeah. I have to interrupt you because we have to take a break. It is radio. I gotta do what I gotta do.
How many minute break you gotta do?
It's like 4 minutes.
Okay,
four minutes.
So good. I'll just play some stuff on my end too. Thanks.
You got it. We'll be right back with Dr. Shiva. Okay.
All right, everyone. So I'm doing this interview with a gentleman, Rob, from News Talk. I hope you're enjoying it. But what I really want to, we're going to start talking about is, as we talk about the swarm, the difference between people and governments. If you look in the Middle East right now, one of the fundamental things that's going on is that this is really about the people of these Middle East countries rising up against the governments. And so the governments are being forced to act to make sure their own people don't overthrow them. And we'll come back to that. But the key thing that I want to share with everyone is, all of you listening should recognize that our movement, the Movement for Truth and Health, is the only force that can end all this nonsense. People want me to do talks on World War III, World War IV, World War V. And these are all distractions. They're all very luxurious distractions, so we don't have to do the hard work in building the movement. There's only one way to build a movement, is that you need to understand the physics of building a movement. So I'm gonna play this video so you guys understand what that physics is, and we'll come right back.
We have allowed our country to be taken over from within, and the end goal is you will have a homogenized world where we will become slaves, because there is a condition among the elites that really thinks they're better than you, deep down inside them, that you don't deserve the freedoms you have. They don't. This reality is what people need to wake up to, and we need to all unite working people. There's only one movement that can do that, And that is the movement that we started creating here in Massachusetts, the Movement for Truth, Freedom, and Health. Look, I've been a student of politics since I was a four-year-old kid, studying revolutionary movements, left-wing, right-wing. There's a physics, there's a nuclear science to destroying the establishment. To build a bridge, you need to understand Newton's equation. You need to understand the laws of gravity. You need to understand Poisson's ratio. There is a way to build a revolution. And that's why I put this together. My goal is to train an army of truth, freedom, and health leaders. We don't need followers like social media. We need leaders, but they need training because the educational system does not teach them history, nothing. So in 3 hours, that's what I've started doing. That's the solution. Wow. We got to train people first with understanding what a system is, the dynamics of all systems that affect nature. The second is understanding the interconnection between truth, freedom, and health. Freedom is the ability to move freely, communicate freely, talk freely. Without freedom, you cannot convert ideas, hypothesis into truth, which is science. And without freedom, you can't really get to truth. And without truth, you make up fake problems and fake solutions, which means you destroy our health. And without health, which is the infrastructure of us and our body, you can't fight for freedom. Truth, freedom, health. Third concept is it has to be bottoms up. Work.
Well, I think the main thing that people need to understand is that everything I'm speaking about is through actual experience. There are four levels of election fraud in the United States, how the swarm controls people from actually getting, one of us working people, independent working people like myself, representing people. Just as an aside, you think about my credentials, the journey I've gone, and it is the reflection of the American people, or for that matter, everyday working people. And the level of suppression that takes place, because they figured out that I'm not going to be their puppet, is quite extraordinary. So the first level of election fraud when you run for office is who actually even gets visibility. You follow? That's where the election fraud ends. There. All of these, so think about a guy like Vivek the Snake. They literally found a brown skinned guy to mimic my words, or Booby Kennedy. And you can go look at the history of these people. They literally manufacture these people. It's like they have a factory. They manufacture them and then they give them visibility. So the efforts to deny visibility to someone like me is the first phase of election fraud. Does that make sense? Because the major media companies should all be branded as super PACs, because that's what they're doing. Yet they can pick and choose who overnight they can make visible. You see? So that's the first phase of election fraud. The next phase of election fraud is if you overcome the visibility, which is what I did when I ran for Senate in Massachusetts in 2018 against Elizabeth Warren. In 2020, in spite of the Republican Party, I ran as a Republican, was that they said, holy cow, this guy overcame all our suppression, and he's known all over Massachusetts. So what do? We raised in that election, we raised $2 million, small dollar donations. Our competitor, the other Republican candidate, couldn't even get 200,000, and he got all that money from the GOP. Okay. So we got over the visibility issue. Then we had to get on the ballot. Well, that took us in the middle of COVID getting nearly 20,000 signatures, which we did. We had a real bottoms up movement. Our opposition candidate couldn't even get that. He could barely get 5,000. He went and whined and dined the Secretary of State, so they changed the rules for him. Okay? Quite fascinating. Okay, so ballot access, that's happening right now. Booby effing Kennedy, it's an acronym. He can't even get on the ballot in any state, so he has to go raise $20 million from Zionists to help him. And then he goes and hires professional signature vendors. And after he hears, we actually have candidates, people actually collecting signatures. He does little videos. He just, took advantage of a black woman. You can see this latest video saying, oh, I have real volunteers, because we've been hammering him. He doesn't have real volunteers. So they wanted they want to manipulate ballot access. So in Iowa and in Idaho and Utah, you know, we got all the signatures to get on the ballot. He couldn't even get 1,000 signatures in Idaho and had to go do a backroom deal to get extension. And in every place, every state, we have incredible leaders who are organizing people bottoms up to get signatures. And wherever we go, the cops show up trying to deny us even the rights to collect signatures. And we have to explain to them the Pruneyard ruling, the Supreme Court rulings, where you have the right to collect signatures. You would think that the government would have educated law enforcement, but they don't, intentionally, to harass us. But we overcome that. So after you get on the ballot, then the third phase of election fraud is to deny you even access on the debate stage. That happened twice in Massachusetts. I had to file lawsuits. I was an independent candidate. We were polling over 10%, which, you know, with 80% visibility. And they purposely, the Democrats and Republicans, got together to deny me ballot, deny us on the debate stage. Think about that. They just do whatever they want, illegal. Then in Massachusetts in 2020, after I won the U.S. Senate election, I mean, even the Republicans who didn't want me to win said, yeah, Dr. Shiba won by a landslide. When the results came out on September 2020 in the Massachusetts is 9 counties, in the county of Franklin County, I won by, 10 points. All white working class communities saw me as one of their own. But in every other county where they use machines, it was 60-40, 60-40, 60-40. You see, it's like, you know, we're the working people coming over, over the moat, over the castle wall. We take out all the battalions that are protecting the feudal lord. And what they do at that point is that's when they can flip. The last part of election fraud is the ability to do two things. They can manipulate signature verification, which is what I uncovered in two important, very, very deep analysis documents for the Arizona Senate that I was asked commissioned to do. And also the fact that they have the ability to flip votes because the voting machines have a feature called the weighted race feature. None of this has changed. And it continues. And the only way out of this is people to recognize that we need to build a bottoms-up movement. And this is precisely what they do not want us to do. And so, yes, you know, but you have to understand it's not the voting machine stuff is only one part of it. There's a whole systemic, it's a multi-systems problem. And this is what needs to be understood. I hope I'm making sense here. Well, Bobby Kennedy is of the swarm. He comes from an organized crime family. He literally has his agents come to our Zoom sessions, steals my words word for word, and remimics it because he understands the concept of the not so obvious establishment. He understands his role is to be the not so obvious establishment. And that's what he's about. The Kennedys are an organized crime family. It was Bobby Kennedy's uncle, John F. Kennedy, who created the 1962 Vaccination Act. Teddy Kennedy's other uncle is the one who protected big pharma companies. He was a co-sponsor of the bill for the 1986 Vaccine Injury Program, which was basically an anodyne term for protecting big pharma. And Booby is a Zionist hoodlum. He runs a bogus organization called Children's Health Defense Fund, but he's absolutely fine with annihilating and vaporizing the children of Palestine. And you can go, you know, his contradictions, he's a fork-tongued, evil devil in his own personal life and in his public life. But these people do not want, what's important to understand is they separate people. They purposely conflate people and the government. Do you know what I'm saying? They conflate people and the government. And it's very important to understand this. If you look at the Middle East right now, which is one of the things I really wanted to discuss with you, is that Hey, why don't we wait? We'll come back. Yeah, we'll come back right after you have to do a break, right? Yeah. All right, so we're gonna come back and go. Yep. All right, great. Yep. So, media and every politician will always use the word America, helping Israel, or Iran attacked Israel, right? They use the nation state terms. We have to make this very, very important distinction between people. We have to make a very important distinction between the people of any nation and the governments, okay? We have to make a big distinction between the people and the governments. So when we say the American people, can you guys hear me all right? We have to make a big distinction between the American people and the government of America. It is America that went to, when we say America went to war against the Vietnamese, let's say in the Vietnam War, it was the American government, U.S. imperialism, that went to war against the Vietnamese people. Okay, it's very important to understand this. And the American people, working people, were forced to go fight there. And then some of those working people started rising up, and that was the anti-war movement of the 1960s and early 70s. Similarly, the news media always conflates the regime of a nation with the people. So, you know, I did a, if you look at what's going on in the Middle East right now, it's important to understand that for the last 30, 40 years, the people of the Middle East have been rising up against their brutal dictators. Even in Israel, many Jewish people do not like the direction of the Israeli government. They do not like Netanyahu. There were close to 500,000 people protesting against Netanyahu prior to October 7th. And you can just read about it. All of that's been suppressed by the US media and the Israeli government media. But if you also go then look in the Middle East, the people of Iran, it's not like they like the Iranian government. The people of Egypt do not like their government. The people of Turkey do not like their government. You can go on and on and on if you look in the Middle East. The broad mass of working people in these countries despise their government. So that's level set, whether you look in Israel, whether you look in Iran, whether you look in Egypt. When I was in Egypt many, many years ago in 2006 or seven, you know, there's like 20-30% unemployment there. The average young person hates the government. And if you remember, there was something called Arab Spring. During Arab Spring, young people came out in millions to protest their government. And Mubarak, who was a dictator of Egypt, who was put in power by the United States, and supported by Israel, crushed that movement, okay? So we need to understand that throughout the Middle East, there's the people, and then there is the government. And so the governments have been totally behind Israel to suppress the Palestinian people. Over the last, you know, since October of last year, now over the last 6 months, there's been a groundswell of people rising up in Iran, in Egypt, even in Israel. And in fear of their own people, these governments are doing certain actions to appease their people. So when Iran went and attacked they have the right to defend themselves as a government, even attacked Israel, they really did that in many ways motivated by the fact that there's massive anger in Iran by the broad mass of people against the regime of Iran, who has done, frankly, very little to help the Palestinian people. Or even if you look in Saudi Arabia, you know, the Saudis are in cahoots with the Israelis. There's been movements even in those countries. So we need to separate the people versus the governments. And the only real solution in the Middle East is a broad mass movement uprising of the broad mass of people, be it in Israel, Iran, Egypt, Turkey, to overthrow their fascist leaders. And that's what really needs to happen. And until that happens, we're not really going to see a solution in the Middle East, because the United States and Israel and the regimes of those countries do not want their people rising up. So to the extent they do something act like they're helping the Palestinians, they're only doing that because of these massive movements in their own country. So yesterday I said we should all support the Iranian people in their decisive action against Israel's attack. Now, I use the word Iranian people, you say, because it was the Iranian people's mass movements and growing movements and throughout the Middle East that forced the Iranian government to unleash this decisive response. But we need to understand there's a fundamental difference between the mass of people in these countries, in all the Middle East, that are, it's essentially a boiling situation where people are actually rising up after they saw the brutalization which took place in Gaza. So the governments, the dictators of all these countries, from Erdogan to all the people in all these, Jordan, etc., are keeping their people in abeyance by acting like they care for the Palestinians. But it's not real. The only way out of the real solution in the Middle East is going to come from the bottoms-up movement of these people rising up. And the Movement for Truth, Freedom, Health is the only force that consistently educates people on why we need to build these bottoms-up movements. Because without these bottoms-up movements coming in, there's not really going to be any significant change. So that's what I want people to understand. It is these bottoms-up movements of people that are going to change the world. It's not going to be from, you know, some glorious white knight coming from above changing it. Okay, so let me bring back our person here. Hopefully we can get him back. Let me see if we can get him. And then we'll continue our discussion that we were having. Let's see here. Maybe it's in here already. All right, here we go. So I hope that's clear. You know, it is, one cannot deny the massive amount of movements that are taking place in these countries that are actually suppressed by the U.S. news media. And it's really, really important to understand that there's been significant movements in the Middle Eastern countries. And this is why the leaders of these countries are reacting. They're not doing it to really help the Palestinian people. They're doing it because of the forces in those countries that are demanding the people, you know, that something be done for their people. All right, let's see if there's any questions there. Yeah, someone says stop looking for a savior. Yep. All right. Let me see if I can get this guy back. Here we go. Okay. We are doing an interview with Rob. It's News Talk Radio, and we'll bring him here, right here. Let me bring him up. All Okay, I'm going to join back in. We're going to bring him in. If you have any questions, please put them on the right. But remember, everyone go to ShivaForPresident.com, get a bumper sticker, put it proudly on the back of your car. Go to ShivaForPresident.com, volunteer, 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 and go to TruthFromHealth.com and become a warrior scholar. It's a very powerful way for you to participate in this process and not just be a, you know, outsider waiting. So let me go back into this conversation with him. All right, here we go. Okay, let's see if there are any questions. Greetings from Nevada. Hi from Washington State. Cannot hear him. Good. Right. So to everyone listening, so I think your question is, how do I see, you know, what is Zionism and how it's affected the American system? I'm on the Rob Carter Show. So first of all, people, I think the key thing people need to understand, you know, I've been talking about this and educating people about it and have been an activist on this for nearly 40 years. Here's the bottom line. Zionism is racism. It is a political ideology. It has nothing to do with Christianity. And it is a political ideology that was literally manufactured out of thin air by a guy called Theodore Herzl. So every American listening to this must understand that Zionism is completely antithetical to the United States Constitution, completely, particularly the 14th Amendment and so on. So anyone who's an American who's supporting Zionism is anti-American. Donald Trump is anti-American. Booby Kennedy's anti-American. Joe Biden is anti-American. All of these clowns, 95% of the Congress is anti-American, which means they're against the American people. And the way that they've executed this is in a deliberate way. They have used the evangelical churches to rebrand Christianity to be equated to Zionism, which is it's completely disgusting. It's no different than in India. They've equated Hinduism with Brahmanism and the caste system. Brahmanism is also a political ideology, which says that a small set of people are better than the rest, and that if you're born as a in a particular, your father is a particular vocation, you're supposed to be that. So it's even in some ways equal or worse. Zionism is racism that serves imperialism. It was created and supported by the British. Because the geographic location of Palestine was strategic to British and U.S. imperial interests. And so they needed to create a divide and rule model there, which is what has been very successful for British colonialism. But Zionism is a weapon. It has nothing to do with Christianity. However, people like Donald Trump, people like Booby Kennedy, people like Biden are puppets. They're just slaves. Don't think these people are any leaders. They're slaves to Zionism. And the purpose of Zionism is to perpetuate this very deep set philosophy that a small set of people are literally better than 8 billion people, okay? And that's where this comes from. So once you believe in that philosophy or that political ideology, you have control over many, many people. So in the United States, the most number of Zionists in the world are not Jewish people. They're white, working class, Christian Zionists in the United States, 70 million of them. And the evangelical churches directly report up to the Israeli government in many ways. They've created an eschatological view of Christianity, which has nothing to do with any of the teachings of the New Testament. So anyone listening, if you're a Christian and your pastor is bamboozling you about, you know, Israel and it's the chosen people and all this nonsense, it's just complete nonsense. There's nothing, it's Zionism. It is a political ideology. That's the first thing. The second thing we need to understand is in the Middle East, the vast majority of working people in the Middle East, forget their religious background. You know, it's not Muslims versus non-Muslims. Even the Muslims don't get this right. Because if you looked at it that way, the Saudi Arabians who are Muslims have been completely backing Zionism. The vast majority of the Muslim leadership in the Middle East has been backstabbing the people of Palestine. Let me repeat that. The vast majority of the Muslim leadership in the Middle East has completely backstabbed the Palestinians. Because if they actually truly were, quote unquote, in solidarity Muslims, the Palestinian people would not have become such pariahs in their own land. This is directly because the Muslim leaders have collaborated with U.S. imperialism and Zionism, period. So since, and you know, we can keep going on and on and on, you know, Hamas, you know, was funded by Israel and the United States. Donald Trump okayed with Netanyahu the funding of Hamas through Qatar. You can just go look at it. It's in bare view. So all of these seeming differences, it's all theater. But the bottom line is that the Muslim leadership collaborated with the Israeli Zionist leadership. So when you look at the broad mass of in the Middle East, whether you look at Egypt, whether you look at Lebanon, whether you look at Iran, whether you look at Turkey, and you go down the list of all of these countries are run by dictators. One dictator versus another, and they brutally suppress their people. The people of Israel are suppressed. The people of Palestine are suppressed. The people of Egypt. So we have to draw this big distinction, as I was just sharing, between the people of these countries and the governments. The people and the governments must be separated. And it's very, very important to do this. So, you know, since October 7th, there's been massive movements on the ground in all of these countries. Working people, students, demonstrating. These leaders in these countries are afraid they're going to be overthrown. So the only way when a leader of countries think they're going to be overthrown, they always point the finger somewhere else. Netanyahu was on the verge of being overthrown. 500,000 people were protesting. It's completely suppressed by the news media. Okay. Same in Egypt, people were protesting. And so in all of these countries, the people hate their regimes. And these people, if people were left to do a people's movement bottoms up, all of these leaders would be gone. We would have people may practice their religions, but there would be a secular nature of how this was done, not theocracies. So through these theocracies, through creating division, you know, Muslim versus Catholic, you know, Muslim versus Hindu, which is just nonsensical. Prior to British colonialism, I can tell you, in India, you know, when I was growing up in Bombay, for example, you know, where my home was, you know, you had Hindus, you had Christians, you had Zoroastrians, you had Muslims. No one fought. However, a politician could come into your neighborhood, a Hindu politician could come to the Hindus and say, oh, the Muslims think you smell, or something like that. Or go to the Muslim politician, go to the Muslims and saying the Hindus don't like you. And this is how they used to create religious wars for their own power. People need to wake the hell up and recognize that the governments of the world are different than the people of the world. The people of the world want to, by and large, we work hard, we want to live in peace, practice whatever religion you want. I don't think anyone really has a concern on that. However, it is these governments that create these divisions. And the real solution for the Middle East is the bottoms-up movement of those people overthrowing their fascist leaders, be it in Israel, be it in Iran, etc. Now, the recent Iranian government's response, you know, historically, they probably would not even done that. The reason they did it was they had to show some force because the Iranian people are so dismayed by the fact how the Arab and Persian leaders have not been supporting the Palestinians. And this is what we need to all understand, that And if you're Muslim out there, understand that separate the Muslim people in the Middle East from the Muslim leadership. The Muslim leadership has consistently sold out their people. So this dynamic needs to be understood. What's that? Yeah, so to the viewers listening, the question is, you just shared the serious reality that Donald Trump works for Zionism. He's a member of the swarm, but he's a penultimate con man. That's what he is. And the establishment spends a tremendous amount of effort in finding these people. That's what we need to understand. They literally do auditions. The presidential elections are an audition for the elites to figure out which scumbag they will use to manipulate other people. That's what this is about. So Donald Trump was also selected. So what the MAGA fools need to understand is that if you believe, as the data shows, elections are selections, all right, you can't just apply it when it befits your narrative. If elections are selections, Obama was a selection, okay? The Clintons were selections, Bushes were selections, because they fit the needs of the swarm. Donald Trump was a selection in 2016, and he was quite a good con man, okay? Because he spoke the anti-establishment rhetoric from the right. But at the end of the day, within 6 months of his presidency, we all started realizing he didn't lock up Hillary. He brought in the swamp, right? And he was positioned there to execute everything that the establishment wanted. What did they want? Well, number one, we need to realize that they wanted to keep interest rates low. The economies of the world were starting to grow, so they needed to put brakes on it. So they created a thing called a pandemic, quote unquote pandemic. The other thing that they needed was big pharma was tanking. If you look at the revenue of big pharmaceutical companies, they were dropping by orders of 50%. Because the entire pharmaceutical model of development doesn't work. So they needed the vaccine mRNA industry platform, and that was Trump's other job. They needed to make sure that Israel, you know, the embassy was moved to Jerusalem. You know, we could do a whole video on this, but James, I think Borfman has brought this out very clearly. You know, there was a hoax within the hoax. The diversion was to act like, you know, Trump was martyred by the Russia hoax. But the reality was it was Israel that put Trump into power. It was Netanyahu who brokered the election interference that Trump needed to get him into power. That's what everyone needs to understand. He was owned by Israel. Israel is a center of election interference throughout the world. They have a massive operation to do this. So Trump was put into power to execute all these things. And that's the role of Donald Trump. And if you look at his history, he's gone bankrupt multiple times. Wilbur Ross, who was the head of the debt financing group of the Rothschilds, is the one who bailed him out. And in return, they put him on a trajectory. So, you know, they play the long game. So the bottom line is, what would I do to answer your question? Number one, all funding to Israel must be cut. It should be seen as a complete conflict of interest. Anyone receiving money from AIPAC, 99% of the people in Congress receive money from AIPAC, which is a Zionist hoodlum organization. These people do not serve America. They've hijacked America. And furthermore, one of the things we need to recognize is that the academic institutions in the United States have been hijacked by Zionism. Every field of science is manipulated through a process called tenure. You know, tenure is a medieval process of where you get a job for life. And this is how these people are able to do science at the bidding of the swarm. And I know this very intimately, having gone through academic institutions. The academic institutions no longer have people based on meritocracy who serves the swarm. So you will write up stuff saying, you know, justifying, subjugation of the Palestinians. You can write up any kind of nonsense you want. You can create climate change narratives. You can create narratives about any aspect of medicine. And so the academic institutions, academics who have tenure, like the old Brahmin priesthood, you cannot fire them. They can write anything they want. They get it published, and their publications then percolate out to major media, and then it becomes quote unquote truth. So, you know, as president, I would end funding to any institution that receives federal funding that still has tenure. That's how you cut the head off the snake. The academics, the priesthood, the black magicians, quote unquote, the black magicians, are the ones who are writing up all sorts of narratives that go into our kids' heads and manipulate, you know, the understanding of any kind of narrative. So, and all of this is modulated by those forces which want to maximize power, profit, control. So it begins with making everyone believe something and backing it up with quote unquote fake science. So in my view, the process of the entire tenure process needs to be completely vaporized. When it comes to Israel, I'm good. I mean, I'm good. I think we can do a follow up, but our people, unfortunately, I'm repeating the questions you're asking, but we could go. But I think we could wrap it up and we could do a follow up. I think this was good. I think in closing, I think the bottom line, I think your viewers and our viewers need to understand there's a fundamental difference throughout the world now between the interests of the people and the interests of the governments. The governments do not represent people anymore. And the reason they don't is because the governments, the leaders of those governments, do not come bottoms up. They come top down. I'm probably the first leader in a long time who's running for a major position who is truly bottoms up, backed by bottoms up people. So anyone listening out there, go to Shiva4president.com, volunteer, support our campaign, get a bumper sticker, put it on the back of your car. And if you want to donate, when you donate, when people donate to us, Rob, I actually give them a lot of literature, books, and training. And then people should go to truthfreedomhealth.com and become warrior scholars. You know, I was mentioning this, the last thing I want to say is, I did a tweet saying, a guy called me up, a guy called Sneakle. He goes, "Oh, Dr. Shiva, cancel your interview with Rob. You know, let's talk about World War III." Well, he's a grifter. I'll do an interview with him, but he's a young kid who just wants to get views. Whether World War III comes, whether World War IV comes, it's irrelevant in many ways because we have to build a movement. Because if we want to end all these imperialist wars, we need to build a movement bottoms up. And that's going to require a lot of hard work. We've created the framework to do that. So people should go to truthfreedomhealth.com, become a part of this movement, get off your butts, support our campaign. It's a historic campaign. It's about us. It's not about them. And don't get bamboozled by Trump, Biden, or Booby. They do not work for us. They work for themselves. Awesome. No. Oh. Yeah, we should talk next time about the solutions that we have. And again, every Thursdays at 11 a.m. and 8 p.m., we do a very, very important, you know, open house, and everyone's invited to it. Then go to shiva4president.com/townhall or vashiva.com/orientation. But we have to build our own movement. There's no shortcut to this. Don't get lost in all the fear mongering. There's no shortcut. We have to build a working people's movement, and that's what we're doing. Yep, we'll do it again. Great. Thank you. I hope that was valuable, but everyone listening, you know, I'm sorry you weren't able to hear him, but he asked a lot of great questions. Rob Carter, we'll do it again with him. But the bottom line is, given what's going on, do not get lost in all this news nonsense. Get off your butt and build the movement. Go to Truth Freedom Health. Become a warrior scholar. Go to shiva4president.com. You know, I'm right now running for president. It's a full-time job. We have incredible leaders all over the country. Go to shiva4president.com. You know, get a bumper sticker, right? You can get a bumper sticker. You can volunteer. But you got to start walking the walk. And we've created the environment where you can do that. Because by doing this is how we fundamentally change things, not by grifting, not by talking about things that we cannot control. What we can control is our actions. So get involved, get involved, get involved. All right, everyone, I hope this was valuable. Be well, be the light. Thank you.
We need to build a bottoms-up movement. Go to shiva4president.com and volunteer.